You don't have to live in spiritual darkness, and you don't have to live with the weight of the world, and you don't have to live with shame and guilt and regret. You don't have to live wounded. You can live in the freedom of God's love through Jesus Christ, our risen one. And Jesus has come for you, and Jesus is available for all of us. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. Thank you for including Christmas Eve church service at Thorn Creek for your Christmas Eve. I know we're all thinking about presents and family times and your grandma's soup or mama's whatever. And I get that, and I appreciate that, and I enjoy that too. But I want to encourage you, can you focus on God's word for just a little bit? I pray that you open up your heart. I pray that you come here with an open heart thinking, maybe God's not done with me. Maybe God has a message for me. Can you have that kind of open mind and just say, you know what? I think the Lord might have a word for me. Our life is so precious. The breath in our lungs is so precious. Every day is a gift from God. All of you who are really old, past the age of 40, know what I'm talking about. But let's just focus on God's word. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why there's lights on houses. This is why there's Christmas trees. This is why my brother's blinking with Christmas lights around his neck. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. So let's not lose sight of that. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says it like this. Do not be afraid, for behold. Can you say behold with me? Behold. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. So this word behold means more than, hey, check it out. Or take a look at this. Or have you seen this? Or what do you think about this? This word behold is way more than that. It requires spiritual eyes to see. There's some things that you will not understand unless you put on a spiritual lens and you see God work. There's some things that God has for you that require a spiritual understanding. So during this sermon, I am praying that you gain a spiritual glimpse into the love of God, the good news, which literally is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have these TV sets. Our creative team is so amazing, guys. I'll tell you what, they do so much around here. But we have these TV sets, and I just realized for some of you, we're getting really, really close to there's going to be a generation that's going to look at these TV sets and think, so what is that? Have you guys figured that out yet? We're getting really close to that. How many of you remember when you had to get up and turn the channel with your own, anybody remember that? How many remember when there was only three channels to view? Remember those days? Oh, I hate it. I remember scrolling, being at my grandma and grandpa's house, and my goal was to only catch commercials because I didn't want to see soap operas. I didn't want to see any of that stuff. But I remember those days, and we had to walk uphill in the snow to change the channel. I remember all those days. Those were crazy days. Right now, you just look at your phone. Everything's on demand. You don't know. You just don't know. But during the days of Jesus, when Jesus was born, Jesus said these words, an angel, many people believe it was the angel Gabriel, said, behold, I bring you great news, good news of great joy. And that was said to a bunch of shepherds out in an open field. That was the announcement. And today, I want to take you with me and look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll look at Christmas through the eyes of these shepherds. Is that cool? Amazing, amazing, amazing story. I don't know where you're at right now in life, but I know my God knows exactly what's going on in your life. Some of you came to church, and maybe you feel you're far from God. Some of you came to church, maybe you're married, and maybe your relationship with your woman or your man is not where it needs to be, and you guys are just cohabitating right now, coexisting. Maybe you're here and you're in a dark place. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been at church. Maybe you're still bleeding over something someone did or someone said or the church did 20 years ago. You are here right now because God brought you here. You're not here by accident. Turn to the person next to you, tell them just, you're not here by accident. Can you tell them, you're not here by accident? Maybe some of you are, I don't know. But you're not here by accident. God brought you here. God wants to have a closer relationship with you. There's more. There's more. There's more that God has for you. God is passionately in love with you, zealously in love with you, jealous for your worship and your affection. He wants you to know his grace and his love. He wants you to know it personally and intimately in a life-changing way. About 2,000 years ago, our world changed. Christmas happened. And we celebrate Christmas today, but we only celebrate Christmas today because there was a resurrection. If there wasn't a resurrection, we really wouldn't celebrate Christmas. Jesus would have been just like any other guy. But we celebrate Christmas today because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We celebrate Christmas today because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can go to the Father except through him. We celebrate Christmas today because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the living water. He is the one called the Holy One, the Anointed One. He is the bright and morning star. We celebrate Jesus because he is the resurrected one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been just a really good teacher. But because of the resurrection, Christmas is celebrated in every nation, every country across the world. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, some of you get upset if, like, people forget your birthday. I mean, you know what I mean? I know that. I get that. I feel that. I'm thinking, this last year, my birthday is July 11, just so you know. And a friend from church, he got mixed up, and on June 11, he texted me, and he said, "Hey, happy birthday, Reuben." And I was confused a little bit, and I thought, today's my birthday? And then I was upset because none of my family members reached out to me to tell me happy birthday on June 11th. So I was like passive aggressive for like hours, like ignoring them, angry. My wife gave me breakfast and she didn't say one thing, and my daughter didn't say anything. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. And then it dawned on me, and then I felt horrible. Then I'm asking everyone for forgiveness because my birthday. So now every 11th, my son tells me happy birthday just to make sure he hits it now. Here's what it means to behold. Check it out. To behold something means to stop. Pay intense attention, to look with spiritual eyes, with understanding and awe, because God is about to do something new in your life. Anybody need something new in your life? Maybe it's a new hope, a new peace, a new faith, a new relationship with God. Maybe it's a new healing. Maybe you haven't felt God in a long, long time. Let's jump into this, guys. Here it goes. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. There's a whole other message here about the timing of the birth of Jesus with the Roman Empire and how it was exactly at the fullness of time, at the perfect time, Jesus entered the world. I got to preach about this one. Verse 3, here it goes. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for their census. This was about taxes. This wasn't just about a headcount. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. She's like close to 9 months, about to deliver. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Strips of cloth. And laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. No room in the inn. Verse 8, that night... Say that night with me, that night. There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Verse 11. "The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Well, Holy Spirit, help me. I want you to see something. This all happened at night. This whole thing happened at night. And I want to help you understand a little bit about these shepherds and these sheep and give you a perspective of Christmas that maybe you haven't heard before or seen before. Nighttime's an interesting time. Anybody ever been lost at night? I went on a hike once and I got lost at night. And night can be really, really dark. Can be really dark, especially if you're outside of the city limits. But nighttime is a time when you hear things. Nighttime is when you hear voices, and nighttime is when you have thoughts that are racing, and nighttime is when fear happens a lot of times, or your doubt whispers. It's at night. It's in those lonely, lonely times. When these shepherds heard this announcement from this one angel, you have to understand, before, I have my Bible open right now, and you have the Old Testament and New Testament, basically the time before Jesus and after Jesus, but between the Old Testament and New Testament, I have a blank page, and this doesn't represent, but I'm just telling you what it is. There was 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. 400 years of silence from the prophet Malachi to the day when the angel showed up and started speaking to a bunch of shepherds and showed up and started speaking to Mary and Joseph. It was 400 years of silence. Can you imagine that? When was the last time you've heard a word from God? When was the last time you felt his presence? When was the last time you felt like God is speaking to me right now? When was the last time you had this undeniable encounter with God and you could remember that? Maybe it's been like it happened just this morning. I don't know. Or maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you haven't been to church in a long time, and maybe whatever it is, and you've kind of become numb, and maybe you no longer feel like you have the ear to hear God, whatever it is. But I want you to know, there is a living God who has a word for you. He loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. And the problems and the life that we have in our life right now, many times God will use problems and circumstances to humble us, so that we could turn to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah for that sickness. Hallelujah for that accident. Hallelujah for that breakup. Hallelujah, whatever it is. Thank God, because guess what? You're turning to God harder. When the refrigerator is full, you feel self-sufficient, maybe even invincible a little bit. When the lifestyle is good and you're taking vacations every week or every month or every year, you can forget that you were created to have a relationship with your creator, your God, and he loves you. You need faith to hear this message. You need faith. I'm just gonna tell you right now. There's gonna be a gap between you and God that God's gonna say, nope, you need to take a step first. There's gonna be a gap in your turning to God, in your turning to Jesus, wherever you're at, whether you're young or you're old, it still requires faith. Scripture says it's impossible to please God without faith. You need faith. So if you're waiting for all of your questions to be answered, you're gonna be waiting till you're in the grave. I'm just telling you right now. God's saying, you know what? You have enough, you know enough. You need to take a step of faith. You need faith to please God. Something I want you to see in this picture is God shows up in the dark. This is their job. Anybody work night shift? You know what I mean? Where the night is day for you and the day is night, and you have like 4x8 sheets of plywood on your window or something like that to sleep. God shows up in the dark. Thank you, incidentally. A lot of you don't want to say that. Thank you. God shows up in the dark. When you look at Scripture, there's stories of God showing up in the dark. In the very beginning, the earth was formless and void, and darkness hovered over the earth. And God spoke and said, "Let there be light." You see other times when the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt and they run up to this Red Sea and there's the evil Egyptians behind them with the Pharaoh and the chariots and they're right up against the Red Sea. And Scripture says that God provided a pillar of fire at night. But you know what he did in front of the Red Sea? He put an eastern wind to go through the Red Sea to dry up the seabed so that in the morning the Israelites can walk through on dry ground. The wind blew at night, in the middle of the night. And you see other times, Jacob wrestled with God at night. Jesus walked on water at night. Abraham established a covenant with God at night when God said, "Look at the stars." A guy named Lazarus was in the dark for 4 days, dead, buried. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he comes out. Jesus, the light of the world, is born in the dark. Light shines best in darkness. You were created in the darkness of your mother's womb. Your God saw you and saw your days and created you. He's a God who is in love with you, and he's a God who wants you to know him. That's your God. You see God work over and over in the dark. Your darkness is not a barrier to God. It's not a barrier to God. Sometimes we think, "Oh man, I've made too many bad decisions, or I'm in this emotional, dark place, or I'm in a spiritual dark place, or my thoughts, I know my thoughts are dark, and I know I'm just grateful nobody knows my thoughts. I'm grateful," you know what I'm talking about, husbands? "I'm grateful my wife doesn't know my thoughts. Ladies, I'm grateful my husband knows my," you know what I'm talking about? Your God sees your thoughts from afar, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants you to know the living water. He wants you to know him. And you see God over and over work in the dark all the time. Your darkness is not a barrier. Sometimes we think, "You know what, I've messed up too much." As long as you have breath, God has a purpose for your life. "I've messed up too much." Somebody once said life consists of 20% decisions and 80% consequences of those decisions. It's pretty close, isn't it? God is so good. He's able to work through all of our mistakes and mess-ups and our complicated life, and he's able to use all that for his glory. He's able to do that. These shepherds, let's talk about these shepherds a little bit. They were not trusted at all. Who were shepherds? According to historical Jewish writings, shepherds were regarded as thieves, not trusted. So much so, Jewish law said they were not allowed to testify in court. You don't believe them. Their character was not trusted. They were uneducated, unskilled, dishonest, unreliable, unsavory characters. At the bottom of the social ladder, literally at the bottom, right there at the same place with these other type of people known as lepers. The other thing about shepherds is they were considered to be spiritually unclean because sheep require 7 days a week of care. Shepherds were unable to fully comply with man-made Sabbath regulations developed by the Pharisees. It's like anybody grew up on a ranch or on a farm. It's like the cows, the chickens, they don't take a day off. You got to keep feeding them every single day. Well, these sheep have to eat. They have to be cared for every day. So they weren't able to go to church. And as a result, shepherds were viewed as being in continual violation of the religious laws. So they were ceremonially unclean. Hear this. God chose messy, smelly, outcast shepherds who didn't go to church, knew they needed God's grace to break the news that the Savior had been born. How many of you know you need God's grace? I know I need God's grace. When I didn't go to church, I knew I needed God's grace. I knew I didn't have a right relationship with God. I knew that life. I knew the things that I did were not pleasing to God. The things I did at night were not pleasing. I knew it was not surprising. And it wasn't surprising at all. I thought about this a lot. Like, out of all people, for God to announce that the birth of his son has come, he announces it to a bunch of people that are smelly and outcasted and spiritually unclean. And he tells these people, hey, Jesus has come. Well, why isn't he telling the Pharisees, the people who go to church, the people who know the Bible? Why isn't he telling the officials in government and city leaders and government leaders? Why isn't he doing that? No. He chooses lowly shepherds to break the news. Lowly shepherds. I want you to hear this. God is attracted to humility. God is attracted to humility. God is attracted to brokenness. And when you look at the Bible, you see God has a soft place in his heart for someone who humbles themselves. You want to get to know God? You want God's will for your life? You want to feel God? You want to know his presence? You want to hear his voice? You need God's blessings in your life? You want to know true joy and true forgiveness and true life? It starts with you humbling yourself. And this is really hard. I know it is. Hear this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want you to notice something. This is a if-then statement. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. This idea of humbling yourself, the opposite of humbling yourself is to be full of pride. And let me just tell you, you could be a Christian and you can be full of pride. Have you ever met a Christian who didn't act like a Christian? I have. That's one of the reasons why I didn't go to church for a long time, because I saw the Christians who went to church and I thought, you know what? Those guys are a bunch of hypocrites. I can do other things. Why should I go to church? You got to humble yourself. Humble yourself means I'm going to lower myself and I'm going to recognize I'm not God. I'm going to recognize that there is a living God who sees everything, and I choose to live my life according to his will. I want my decisions and everything I do to be pleasing to my God. I recognize I am so limited in so many ways. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God is the giver of my breath. I'm accountable to God. I may be able to fool other people so they don't see what I'm doing, but I can't fool my God. I might be a player, but I can't play God. I can't do that. God sees everything. And it starts with you humbling yourself. Pride is when you're so full of yourself, you don't learn anything else because you know it all already. You don't have a teachable spirit at all. You know it all already. Nobody can tell you anything because you know everything already. That's pride. I've discovered pride, it's the oldest sin in the Bible, because when Lucifer was in heaven, he was an angel, and he got full of pride. He wanted to be worshipped like God. And God kicked him out of heaven, and one-third of the angels who became demons went with Satan right out of heaven. But think about this. Pride filled Lucifer in heaven when he was in the presence of God. Wow, how much easier is it for us in this lonely place called earth, where we're worshiping an invisible God and we're walking by faith, to get full of pride? I've seen people full of pride who are living in a 10,000 square foot home, and I've seen people full of pride who are living out of their car. Pride goes everywhere and it affects everyone. Doesn't matter your status. Pride says you don't need to humble yourself. Pride says you don't need to listen. Pride says, nope, it's her fault. Nope, it's his fault. Pride says, no. It's they're to blame, not me. We are really good at judging other people by their actions and judging ourselves by our intentions. We're really good at that. Hear this, don't reject God's love because you don't feel worthy. I know for some of you, you know what it's like to not feel worthy. You're uncomfortable when people start complimenting you. You get uncomfortable when they start showing you love and you're like, I didn't grow up like that. I grew up with a dad who left me when I was 7 years old, and I'll never forget that day. They changed my first name and my last name. I'll never forget that day. When my kids grew up and when they got to the age of 7, it was really hard to love my biological dad because all I kept thinking was this was the day he walked out of my life. Anybody know what abandonment feels like? Anybody know what abuse feels like? Anybody knows what verbal abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, any of those things? Those things can stick with you. But you have a God who wants to set you free from that pain, set you free. He wants to heal you from all that. Here's the truth. Let me give you your true identity. You are a child of God. Your soul belongs to God. You have a God who is passionately in love with you, and he's not content to have a one-night stand with you. He wants you to know him 24/7. He wants you to know his love and his grace and his mercy, and it's so overwhelming. One of the reasons why I think these shepherds were notified first is because they understood what sin was. Scripture says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And there's some people who are more aware of this than others, right? There's some people that are more aware that, you know, self-awareness is a wonderful thing. It's hard to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't have self-awareness, right? You don't hear what you're saying. You don't know what you're... Are you not aware of how you're coming across right now in the room? Are you not aware of how people are reading you right now? Self-awareness is wonderful. Those are questions we typically don't even ask ourselves. Are you not aware what you're saying and how you're living are two different things? Are you not aware that your face is saying something else and your words are saying something else? I didn't even share this last night. Self-awareness is a wonderful thing. And some people, I believe God moves in the hearts of people who are spiritually self-aware. They recognize, I need a savior. They recognize, I don't have it all together. They recognize I have sin in my life. That's why it's like that woman who fell at the feet of Jesus and she's crying at his feet and everybody's checking around and saying, why is this woman crashing the party? Why is she doing that? Remember what Jesus said? She loves much because she has been forgiven much. She is self-aware of how much she needed to be forgiven. These sheep are really interesting. Jewish law said this, you were forbidden to keep flocks throughout the land of Israel, except in the wilderness. And the only flocks otherwise kept would be those for the temple services. So Jewish law said, hey, if you want to have sheep, you got to have them outside in the wilderness. These sheep that these shepherds were taking care of, they were only 1 to 2 miles outside of Bethlehem. They were in the burbs. 1 to 2 miles outside of downtown Denver, right? 1 to 2 miles outside of Bethlehem. They're close. So here's the assumption with these sheep right here. These sheep were destined to be sacrificed for the sins of people in the Jerusalem temple. That's why these sheep were so special. These shepherds understood Old Testament Jewish law. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came into our world, the way you got right with God was through animal sacrifices. Putting your hands on goats, putting your hands on bulls, offering that lamb. There were sacrifices every morning and every night for the sins of the people. They were keenly aware of their sin. Every morning, every night, everybody understood all of the laws related to sacrifices. In fact, Leviticus chapter 22 says this, do not present an animal with defects because the Lord will not accept it on your behalf. These shepherds understood this law. So interesting that I'm in Leviticus right now in my private devotions, and I just read this chapter like a few days ago. God is so good. He knew I'd be using it for Christmas Eve service. And check it out. What's a defect? These shepherds understood how important it was that there's no defect. In Leviticus chapter 22, here's what you read. They can't have any defects. In fact, if an animal was blind, crippled, or injured, it was defective. If it had a wart, a skin sore, or a scab, defective. If one of the legs of that lamb or bull was longer or shorter than the others, defective. If there was any flaw, defective. If an animal has damaged testicles, isn't that great? When was the last time you went to Christmas Eve service and heard about testicles? Damaged testicles, or is castrated, defective. If it comes from a Gentile, meaning a non-Jew, if it was given to you by them, defective. These angels, what they do with these shepherds is they talk shepherd with them. When shepherds were watching the birth of lambs, they would look very closely because they understood all the laws of defective. And if a lamb came out and it was perfect, you know what they would do? They'd grab a strip of cloth and identify it and take that lamb and wrap it up and put it somewhere apart from everything else. You guys feel me? You know where I'm going? When the angel said, you'll find the Savior wrapped in strips of cloth, in swaddling clothes, they understood he's a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. They understood, oh, how will you identify him? With the strips of cloth, the swaddling clothes. Here's your Savior. First Peter says it like this: for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. These shepherds understood this. That's why when John the Baptist said, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want to talk to the person who knows. You know you're spiritually unclean. You know you're not right with God. You know it. You know there's things going on in your life. You know you're living a compromising life. You know you're lukewarm. You know it. You know you lie. You know you cheat. You know you lust. You know all of those things. You know you feel you have pride. I want to talk to the person who is spiritually self-aware right now. Your home is in a place of peace. It's not like that. It's a place where you argue and fight. You're hooking up with people. You're living a supernatural or superficial life, rather. You're living with a low level of anger inside of you. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's wondering what's going to set you off. You're hurt. You're wounded. Everyone knows you're hurt. Everyone cares about you and they know you're hurt. They know you're wounded. You have unforgiveness in your heart. You haven't forgiven, you know, Aunt Edna or Slick Willie or that pastor. Some of us are really good at unfriending. Maybe we think, oh, I can block them. I don't have to unfriend them. You know what you're doing, right? I know what I'm doing. Some of us have hate in our heart. I want you to know God doesn't want you to live like that. The devil has robbed enough from your life, hasn't he? Don't let him have another day. There is great joy that comes with knowing Jesus. That great joy there, incidentally, it's this exuberance, exceedingly joy. It's this you can't shut me up kind of joy. Have you ever been so full of joy that nobody can shut you up? It's like when you're singing and you're out of tune and out of key and you don't care because you got so much joy inside of you. That's what happens when you turn to Jesus. That's what happens when you embrace God's love and embrace his grace. It's like that blind beggar that was in front of the temple when Simon Peter showed up and he said, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have is in the name of Jesus. You get up and walk. And he gets up and he starts to dance and just, he's so excited. It's because of that joy. Oh, what joy for those whose sins have been forgiven. That's Psalm chapter 32. You don't have to live in spiritual darkness, and you don't have to live with the weight of the world, and you don't have to live with shame and guilt and regret. You don't have to live wounded. You can live in the freedom of God's love through Jesus Christ, our risen one. And Jesus has come for you, and Jesus is available for all of us. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Here's the mission of Jesus. Luke chapter 5 says, Jesus answered and said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. Make sure you catch that. There are people who think they are righteous. No. Jesus didn't come for those. He came for those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Hallelujah. The shepherds knew they were sinners. Do you have people in your life that remind you of your past? Oof, I'm so grateful we have a God who forgives and chooses to forget our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's a God who forgives and he chooses to forget. He doesn't hold our sins over our head. Thank you, Lord. He doesn't hold our sins over our head. These shepherds knew they were spiritually unclean. This is the mission of Jesus. Everywhere you look and everything, he never locked eyes with a sinner he didn't want to save. He was always looking for the lost. This was the heart of Jesus, and it still is today. I can't tell you how many stories, how many people come to this church right here and they were far from God, or their home was just a mess, their life was complicated, and they found Jesus and they're learning what it means to live in Christ. They're learning what it means to walk with Christ. They're learning how to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They're learning that. And look all over our walls in this building, guys. There's incredible God stories all over this place. But Jesus said that one word at the very end. He came for those who know they're sinners and need to, what's that word, church? That's a church word. That's a Bible word. You know what repent means? Literally means to change one's mind. This idea of you're walking this way and you know you're not right. You know, I mean, come on, you know it. You know there's things you want to do in the dark. You know who you are. But repent means this: I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to start living for God. I'm going to turn myself completely to Jesus. I recognize my breath is a gift from God. I recognize I need a Savior. I recognize I need forgiveness in my life. I recognize I've hurt a lot of people. I recognize I'm not living in integrity, and I'm going to start walking with God. I recognize I don't even go to church. I recognize I don't give, I don't serve, I don't forgive, I don't love others. I recognize that there's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. There's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. And let me just give it to you guys. The older we get, the harder it is to change our mind. We become more stubborn. We got to baptize a 78-year-old woman in this church just a few weeks ago. We baptized a lot of people. Maybe it was longer. No, she stood up. That's what she did. She stood up. I didn't get that right. She stood up. And I look at that and I think, wow, this is amazing. In this church, we have people turning to Jesus of all ages. Glory to God. Oh, I got to go to the invitation here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, behold, say behold with me. I stand at the door and knock. If with me, anyone hears my voice and opens the door, it's the door of your heart, I will come into him or her and will dine with him or her and he with me. Do you feel the intimacy behind this? Super simple, guys. Remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, at your house every time you put your hand on a doorknob, the front door, your bedroom doors, your bathroom doors. Remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, because Jesus breaks it down really simple. And he says, hey, I'm going to stand at the door of your heart like this. And here's the part. Did you notice this? If anyone hears my voice, who opens the door? You do. You don't see, you know, Jesus, you know, just busting through the door like that. No. He says, you open the door. See, God has given you what's called moral volition, a freedom of choice. Parents, how does it feel when your kids choose to love you? Doesn't that feel good? You are a child of God. Your soul belongs to God. And all the circumstances in your life have brought you to this church to hear this message. The greatest gift you can give to God is open up Jesus. Open up that door and let Jesus come into your heart. There's nothing greater than that, guys. There's no present you will unwrap this year that's greater than the present of Jesus Christ. There's no present you will wrap this year. I don't care if there's a truck with a bow on top of the hood. I don't care. There's no present greater than Jesus Christ. If your heart's not right, you can go on vacation anywhere you want, but your heart goes with you, doesn't it? If your heart's not right, it doesn't matter how many people you hook up with. Your heart's not right. If your heart's not right, it doesn't matter what you look like, what clothes you wear, what vibe you go run with. I mean, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to come and I'm knocking on your door. Can you hear me? I want to have a relationship with you, but you got to say yes. You got to open up that door and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And scripture says that Jesus will hang out with you every day, 24/7. Glory to God. You have a God who will never walk out of your life. You have a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. You have a God who is a faithful God, a loving God, a merciful God. You have a God who will watch your back all the days of your life. When other people walk out, your God's in the room. He will take care of you and watch over you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the desires of your heart. He is passionately and zealously in love with you. That's your God. That's your God. That's your God. That's your God. Hallelujah. Here's Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know what this verse says? There's a heaven and there's a hell. This verse says that God gave his Son to the world. Jesus lived about 33 years. Nobody impacted our world more than Jesus. Because of the resurrection, our whole calendar system was rebooted. Every time you write out the date, you're acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus. Whether you're close to God or far from God, it doesn't matter. Jesus is who he is. Christmas is a day we celebrate because Jesus entered our world. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. The Word of God is so beautiful. I want to give you an opportunity to turn to God. I want to give you an opportunity, and this is a part that's going to require some courage. Oh, Lord, I'm just walking by faith up here. My job is to be a messenger. God knows your life. I don't know your life like you know. God knows your life. And I want to invite you to respond to the Spirit of God. If you sense something stirring in your heart while I've been up here preaching, that's the Spirit of God trying to get your attention. You feel that? I think about the shepherds. Gosh, I didn't even read that. Oh, mercy. Verse 13, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told, who'd they tell, guys? Amen. They told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. You go, Mary. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. A question that the Lord put on my mind when I was writing out this message was, what if the angels did not go to Bethlehem? I don't know if we'd be reading this story. There was an element of obedience, taking action to their faith. I think if they just stayed and huddled up and said, wow, that was a phenomenal message. Hey, we got to take care of these sheep. I think they would have missed it. But they responded to the way their heart was pumping, they got spiritual eyesight, spiritual perspective. And they said, we have to go to Bethlehem. We're only 1 or 2 miles outside here. We got to go find this baby. How will we know? Well, the baby's going to be wrapped up in strips of cloth or snuggling or swaddling clothes. It's a perfect lamb. Let's go check it out. Here's your opportunity, guys. Here it is. You ready? Some of you are going to do this, some of you are not, but I'm just throwing it out there. This is between you and God. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this good news, an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit, an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God stirring your heart. This is a place where none of us have it all together, guys. Just read our walls. This is a place where all of us know we have spiritual self-awareness. We all need the grace of God. Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar where they could find some bread, all right? It's all good. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God. Don't you worry about what that person's going to think about you sitting to your left or to your right. Don't you worry about that. Here's the truth. That person who's not responding needs the grace of God just as much as you. That's the truth. So I'm going to throw this out. Are you ready? I just saw Braveheart last night. I feel like it takes a little courage to do this now. This is a little Braveheart moment right here. If you want to invite Jesus Christ into your life and you want to open up the door of your heart, would you stand up really quickly? And I want to say a special prayer for you. Stand up really quickly. Anybody in the house? Okay. We got two over here. Hallelujah. We got two. Oh, we got my brother over here. It takes courage, doesn't it? It takes courage. It takes courage. Anybody else? It takes courage. If you want to be full of the Holy Spirit, or you want to turn back to God, maybe you consider yourself a Christian, and you guys stay standing. Way to go for standing. I'm going to ask those of you who want to have a new relationship with God, would you stand up right now really quickly? Stand up really quickly. You want to have a new relationship with God? God, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who are ready to receive Jesus, would you say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins, and I want to repent of that right now, and I want to live for you. As best as I know how, Jesus, I want to become a Christian. I open up the door of my heart. Come into my heart and put your Holy Spirit inside of me so that I know right from wrong. Others of you who stood up, maybe you need to say this, God, you know, I need to get closer to you, God. I've been playing and I just need to turn to you. So God, you know my life, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me. I ask you to put new desires inside of me. Give me new thoughts and continue to change my heart, transform my heart. My life is in your hands, God. I recognize every breath I have is from you. So may I live and may I praise you and bring you great glory by the way I live. Use me any way you want in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless every home, every family. Bless their time together with their family and their friends. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, church. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.